morning. Thank you guys for coming out again this morning. Just have a couple of reminders for you. You might want to check your newsletters. I think somewhere in the newsletter is the phone number to text to, or if you have something to write with, I can give that to you. Just before I do that, let me let you know that we're not taking questions from the floor on Friday at either presentation during the Q&A. So it would be best for you to text or write your questions, get them to us. We want to protect your anonymity in that process. The phone number to text questions to is 360-936-8514. And I also want to encourage you to take advantage of resources that are available to you today that have been put together by Coming Out Ministries. These are over in the ABC. This is the series with Steve Wahlberg. Just to let you know, some of what is on that DVD are three testimonies laying credibility to talk about the topic. And those are given by Mike Carducci, Ron Woolsey, and myself. Then we move into topics about what love is. How do we define love? What's homophobia? Are we still tempted? What about the blame game? It seems that many people think that if we can find the cause of homosexuality, somehow that will resolve it. But that's not always the case. This is about putting the focus on the solution, which is through Jesus Christ. Salvation by sex. There's an interesting topic for you to consider. There's a wealth of information, a war going on for our souls that is on this DVD. When you purchase the DVD, you also receive the one-hour response to the film Seventh-day Adventist as a free bonus. It is the only response that I know of that is on media at this point in time. We also did a series of 21 programs for 3ABN. I know that some of you have seen that on their network of Dare to Dream and through the program on Dare to Dream called Pure Choices. We cover topics like breaking the silence, heredity and sexuality, the power of prayer, can you be born gay or is it important to be born again, cross-dressing, sexual dreams, is there a gay agenda, Jesus is my reparative therapist, church culture, single-parent homes, pornography, masturbation. There's a wealth of information on this DVD set, and they're available to you at the ABC bookstore. I also want to encourage you to come this afternoon to hear Mike Carducci's testimony about becoming a man and how God reached his heart. Additionally, tomorrow morning is Ron Woolsey is presenting. Which one is it?
The all-important question.
The all-important question. And then tomorrow afternoon, Wednesday afternoon, I will share with you my testimony entitled Out of Innocence. I encourage you to continue to pray for us and to pray for the people that we're speaking to during camp meeting here. There are a lot of hurting people. God has the solutions and the answers and has provided resources to us today to show us that there is a way out. I encourage you to also pray for Danielle as she is speaking this morning and to listen attentively to her testimony, which is extremely powerful. Before we get started this morning, we would like to sing again our favorite, or my favorite song, which is Redeemed, not your regular version of the Redeemed, but the one on page 338, and I'm sorry I don't have the words for you this morning, but some of you probably, I think they're pretty much the same as on the regular version.
Redeemed, redeemed,
Thank you. All right, welcome everyone. I'm so glad to see everyone here this morning, and I just really count it a privilege and an honor to be up here sharing my testimony with you all. I would like humbly to ask you all to just bow your heads and join me in a word of prayer before I begin. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we are grateful for the many promises in your word. And my mind is brought to the promise where you say that you will never leave us or forsake us. And so I know that you're here with us, Lord, and I just want to ask you for a double portion of your Holy Spirit this morning. There is nothing that I can say in my own words that can show your face to anyone. There's nothing that I can say that can convict the hearts of men, but you, O Lord, desire to speak through me, and so you have said in Exodus 4:12, now therefore go, and I will be with thy mouth and teach thee what thou shalt say. So I thank you for that promise as well, Lord, and I trust that you have words to speak through me this morning. Thank you so much for helping me to build this presentation, Lord, and I pray that it is for the glory and honor of Jesus Christ alone. For you have said, if he is lifted up, he shall draw all men unto himself. And my desire is to glorify him, Lord. Let nothing of self or sin be glorified here this morning, but let a message of hope ring through the air, and may you be seen. In Jesus' name I pray, and for his sake. Amen. As you can see, my testimony this morning is entitled Sexual Purity Lost and Found. This is my testimony story, and it's not the one that I have been sharing all along, actually. I've been sharing my testimony for over a year now in different situations. And this one is something that I've developed just recently, especially to share with Coming Out Ministries. And I want, as I begin to share with you this morning, I want you to think about this quote. It's found in the Great Controversy, page 555, and it says, "It is a law both of the intellectual and the spiritual nature that by beholding we become changed. The mind gradually adapts itself to the subjects upon which it is allowed to dwell." And I want you to see how this truth played out in my life. I start from the very beginning, and when I ask my mother what she remembers of my character, she says I was always a very happy baby, always smiling and laughing, and that music was a really big part of my joy, a big part of my experience. She says that I was always singing everywhere that I went, always dancing everywhere that I went. Here's me dancing with Grandma. And a lot of my musical inspiration at that time was Disney. I was raised on Disney. I could sing all the songs and everything like that. We'll talk more about that later. But my mother also says that as a young age, I was very much interested in Madonna. Now, I don't really remember enjoying her music or listening to her music, but my mother says that I was a big fan of Madonna. And I just want you to think about a few of her song lyrics here. She says, "The boy with the cold hard cash is always Mr. Right, because we're living in a material world and I'm a material girl." I don't know that that's necessarily very safe for our little girls to be thinking, right? "If the music's pumping, it will give you new life." "We might be lovers if the rhythm is right. I hope this feeling never ends tonight." When we turn away from her song lyrics and we listen to what she said, different places she's been quoting, saying things like this: "I don't care anymore if people like me or if people dress like me. Now I want them to think like me." But then we get a little bit of insight into her thoughts, and she says, "I won't be happy until I'm as famous as God." It's difficult to believe in a religion that places such a high premium on chastity and virginity. And then she says, "I'm a tortured person. I have a lot of demons inside of me." She was later quoted, this is taken from The Advocate, a magazine, in 1991. During an interview for a magazine, she spoke about the suggestions of homosexuality in her videos, and this is what she said. She said, "They, being the viewers, digest it on a lot of different levels. Some people will see it and be disgusted by it, but maybe they'll be unconsciously aroused by it. If people keep seeing it and seeing it and seeing it, eventually it's not going to be such a strange thing." And this is a quote right around the time that I was probably listening to her music and watching her videos. And now I want to turn from the influence of the world to the influence of what the Lord has spoken through his prophet. In the book Appeal to Mothers on page 11, it says, "Mothers, you cannot be too careful in preventing your child, your children, from learning low habits. It is easier to learn evil than to eradicate it after it is learned. Neighbors may permit their children to come to your house to spend the evening and the night with your children. Here is a trial and a choice for you, to run the risk of offending your neighbors by sending their children to their own home, or gratify them and let them lodge with your children, and thus expose them to be instructed in the knowledge which would be a lifelong curse to them. Unfortunately, my mother didn't know this counsel. She's talking here about the curse of masturbation. And I was spending a lot of time with a certain girl when I was growing up, and unfortunately, these were the things that I was learning from her. So by the age of 7, I had already began experiencing physical intimacy with the same sex. And as a result of that, I was learning things about my body that I shouldn't have known at that young of an age. And not long after that, masturbation had become an addiction for me. Nonetheless, my mother had instructed me in lessons of purity and wanting to do the right thing. So by the time I was 9, I made these promises to myself. I wanted to remain pure until I was married. And I had seen a lot of struggle in my family life. My father was an alcoholic. My parents separated when I was 6. And there was a lot of turmoil in the household because of that. And so I promised myself that I did not want to do any drugs. I didn't want to partake in alcohol. And I didn't want to marry anyone who struggled with those things either. And the Lord had provided a safe haven for me, a family where I could go and spend time with them. And I actually would spend weeks at a time at their home. And I would go to church with them whenever I was over at their home. And at the age of 9, myself and her daughter were baptized. But unfortunately, this was an unconverted baptism for me because, you know, I didn't spend time with the Lord Jesus. I believed that He was the Son of God, and I wanted Him to be my Savior, but I never spent time with Him in prayer or Bible study, so it was a very superficial relationship with Him up to this point. And so, of course, because I was trusting in my own strength and my own promises, which were only ropes of sand, those promises that I had made to myself were broken very quickly. By the age of 11, I was already smoking, and I was addicted by the age of 13. I began smoking marijuana at the age of 13 and was addicted by the age of 17. And I started to experiment with physical intimacy with the opposite sex at the age of 14. And I want to show you a little insight into the music that I was listening to at this time. We are given to a God to put our faith therein, but to be forgiven, we must first believe in sin. That sounds pretty right on, right? But then later on in her album, she also says, churches don't have windows, but the graveyards do. Me and my shadow are wrestling again. Look out, stranger, there's a dark cloud moving in. That doesn't sound like a very consistent message, does it? Another artist said, I do not struggle in your web because it was my aim to be caught. But, Daddy Longlegs, I feel that I'm finally growing weary of waiting to be consumed by you. These were the things that were going into my mind. You pretend you're safe inside, but I know what no one knows. Now, this artist that the last quote comes from, they had become my favorite group. I had gone and seen them in concert, and I got their CD, and I was listening to it over and over and over. It was always in my headphones. And I remember one afternoon I was sitting on the couch, and I had a T-shirt, and I'd cut it all up, cut big chunks out of it. I was safety pinning it back together. And I was just thinking to myself, you know what? It doesn't matter what everyone tells me I need to be, what everyone tells me I need to do. I can make my own decisions. I can live a crazy life. I can do whatever I want. Does it really matter in the end? You know, I still try to be a good person. And another one of the song lyrics on that same CD said, we make this new religion to escape what we've become. Your signal's fading, so let go to face this recreation. Indeed, I was being recreated and not in a holy way, and you can see from this photo that as I was changing inside, I started to change outside too. Of course, it didn't take very long for the restlessness to settle in after this point, and I wrote this poem. Dear God, Christ was my Savior. He died for me, and He'd go blind so I could see, but I can't take this any longer. I pray for wisdom and to be stronger. Still nothing I do seems to work, and all I do is feel more hurt. So now I want to take my life, but in my heart I know it's not right to just give up and try no more and not fight back to even the score. So I'll look to the sky in search of release and hope my heart can find its peace. I made a piece of art not long after that. It's on a mirror, and it's a self-portrait. And then I have wings next to me, and they're filled with flames. And down the center, there's a poem. And I didn't write this poem. I found it in a book, but I really felt like it fit where I was in my heart at this time. It says, "There's a war inside, in the battlefield of my brain. Should I stand and fight, or will it drive me insane? I'm a rebel. You don't like it? Then just get out of my way. You tell me you're the future. Well, the future's far away. This is now. This is me. This is war. I can feel you all around me, all righteous, not a doubt. Well, time to choose a weapon, because now I'm coming out. I raise my head above the muck and take my aim. You're out of luck. But I drop my gun and duck, because the enemy, the face I see, is me." Mind, Character, and Personality says on page 227, "Polluted thoughts harbored become habit, and the soul is scarred and defiled. Once do a wrong action, and a blot is made which nothing can heal but the blood of Christ. And if the habit is not turned from with firm determination, the soul is corrupted, and the streams flowing from this defiling fountain corrupt others. His influence is a curse." So by the time I was 16, all of my promises to myself were broken because I had lost my virginity. I was becoming addicted to marijuana. I was addicted to cigarettes. And by the age of 18, I thought, you know what? Who cares about everything in life, because nothing makes sense to me anymore but the music. I could stay here and I could go to work tomorrow, or I could go with my friends halfway across the state and chase this band that I'm totally obsessed with and just live for the music. So I shaved my head into a mohawk, and extravagant hair, makeup, and dress became everything that I lived. I was just a walking piece of art, a billboard for the enemy. It came to the point where I was drawing stitches across my face, up my arms. I was writing song lyrics on my arms and legs. And I was wearing horns almost everywhere that I went. And I want to show you some of the song lyrics that I was listening to at this time. And I don't want to offend anyone, but I want you to see that by beholding, you become changed. You try to run and you try to escape. It's of no consequence. The fallen one, he always gets what he wants. This is your time to repent. Songs of desperation pouring out of all the little girls. We're still screaming. Did you pray? Well, you can't stop it now. Why would you waste another word on God? I am the devil, and I've come to do the devil's work. Death seduces generations. This is the kind of music that's available for our youth today. Save your breath. Don't say your prayers. Words won't help you where you're going. And these were the lies that were becoming a part of my heart, shaping my life and my decisions. And you can see here that song lyric written up my arm. It's hard to read, but it says, "Remorse is useless." And the song lyric that came from, she's screaming out and she says, "Remorse is useless now. God doesn't want us back now, baby." And that was the lie that I had made my own. I thought that I had wandered so far out into my rebellion that God would never want me back. Mind, Character, and Personality on page 225 says, "This is the degrading process. The mind of a man or woman does not come down in a moment from purity and holiness to depravity, corruption, and crime. It takes time to transform the human to the divine, or to degrade those formed in the image of God to the brutal or the satanic. By beholding, we become changed. Though formed in the image of his maker, man can so educate his mind that sin, which he once loathed, will become pleasant to him. As he ceases to watch and pray, he ceases to guard the citadel, the heart, and engage in sin and crime." So by the age of 20, I was battling depression, anxiety attacks, eating disorders, multiple addictions. My nickname was Void, and it was very appropriate. And by the time I was 24, I had already been physically intimate with at least 18 men and women. What happened to that little girl inside who wanted to follow Jesus, who wanted to stay pure? Well, I woke up one morning while I was in that life, and I heard this voice. It was so still, but it was so strong and so loud and clear in my mind, and it said, Danielle, you have got to change or you're going to die. And I knew at that moment in the depths of my soul that I had a decision to make, that I needed to either turn from the path that I was on and choose life, or I was going to die. Because I was down to about 110 pounds, I was skinnier than I was when I was anorexic in high school. And I was withering away physically, mentally, and spiritually. And at that point, I made that decision. I decided that I wanted to turn back to life. I wanted that peace and that restfulness that I had experienced as a child out in nature. And I had this moment of surrender. I moved back in with my father. And that night, I ran out into the woods. And I fell down on my face. And I wrote this in a journal. It says, as I stumble out into the wilderness, I'm praying for solitude. I wonder how it is that my life has come to this. I melt to the forest floor, weeping the most potent tears of heartache. They sear my cheeks as if they were acid. Palms to the ground, the earth moist and cool. I beg for the answer. Why? Why, Mother, must we live like this? Why can't we live for life's sake instead of for all these lies? Why don't I know what to say? I want to know what to tell them, that this world isn't what you meant it to be. I want to answer your call to be the one to begin the change in this world. I don't want it for power. I just want peace and happiness for everyone. We're killing you. And I can't live this life anymore. Why can't they see what we've become? I can't be this girl anymore, this weak, selfish, damaged ghost anymore. What do I do? What do I say? How do I reawaken my soul and feel your spirit brilliant and warm and true? Is there no hope left in this world? Is it all gone? Because I don't feel it anymore. I don't feel anything anymore except for this pain in my heart, except for these tears. I am worthless. I hate what I've become, this broken heart. That's all I am anymore, a walking sorrow, torn by a world that a love for power has created. I try with everything inside of me to listen to the trees, to hear any advice that she might have to say, but all I can hear are the cars roaring carelessly. Why, Mother? Why? No. I must stop asking why and start asking how and what. What do I say? How do I show them your face? And thus began my quest for knowledge in the New Age. I started studying into different world religions, especially Wiccanism and Native American spirituality. I wanted to learn how to be a healer. I wanted to learn about energy healing and herbal healing, aura and chakra reading, quantum mechanics, divination. And eventually that road led to out-of-body experience and spirit channeling. You see, my spiritual understanding up to this point was that I believed in a supreme being and a source of life, but I viewed God as a mother, as Mother Earth. I believed in a personal God who was involved in my life because I could see things happening all around me. And the things that I really resonated with in nature that taught me about God was light as a symbol of life and understanding, and darkness as a symbol of death and confusion. And the metamorphosis of the butterfly was what I really resonated in my heart with the most as far as my journey spiritually. And I'd come to just believe that harmony in this world between man and God had been lost, and that man was just mostly like a cancer in the body of the Lord. And I think Romans 1 verses 22 through 27 really encapsulate where I was at that point in my life. It says, professing themselves to be wise, they became fools and changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man and to birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lusts of their own hearts to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this cause God gave them up to their vile affections, for even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another, men with men, working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error which was meet. So up to this point, my mindset towards relationships was that I was always more attracted to females, but I most often fell into relationships with men because there was less of an initial attraction, there was less of that shy awkwardness, and so I often had relationships with men that developed out of friendships. But because of that fact that I was more attracted to women, I was never in a relationship with anyone without it remaining open. You know, I made it very clear that I'm attracted to women and I'm only going to be with you if you understand that I'm going to sleep with women too. So I never had a healthy relationship, as much as it can be when you're in the world. You know, this taught me that it was okay to allow my heart to wander. And so my relationships were always broken. Around this time, I decided that I wanted to become a clown. I had a desire to go to clown school, and then I met this person who had been juggling since second grade. He could juggle up to 10 or 7 balls, pins, torches, knives. And I was like, you've got to teach me how to juggle because that's what I want to do. You know, I want to be a clown. And so we started spending a lot of time together, and eventually we started dating. And I thought, oh, this is a leading from the divine because, you know, I want to be a clown, and now here's this person, and we're starting to juggle together, and we're creating, you know, this new job together, and it's so great, and I was so excited about it. I really thought that God was leading in this. But he had a different plan. So I was working at this Thai restaurant, and I loved working there. I loved my customers and my coworkers, but at the same time, I had become vegan, mostly for animal rights reasons, and I didn't want to support an industry of selling meat and eggs all day. So I was developing a very active prayer life. I didn't know who I was praying to, but it was very natural for me to pray, and I know that it helped. So I was praying that I could find a job that I could feel good about doing, and also that I wouldn't be held back by my fears. And my sister came up to me one day, and she invited me to go out to the Black Hills Health and Education Center. And I really struggled with that because it's like, well, I'll be volunteering. I won't be making any money towards going out to or back to school. So I struggled with it for a while, but eventually I had this thought that came into my mind, and it said, if you don't go to South Dakota, you're going to spend the rest of your life wondering, what would have happened if I would have went to South Dakota that summer? And I didn't just think that once. That thought kept coming into my mind over and over and over until I was finally like, what's the big deal with South Dakota? Why do I keep thinking this? And when I realized that, I forced myself to sit down and write out all the pros and cons of going and staying. And I realized that all the reasons to go were beautiful. They were things that I was praying about, that I would be able to travel the world, meet new people, help people, learn natural remedies, things like that. And all the reasons to stay were just fears of one shape or size or another. So I decided, you know what? God is big enough to guide my life. He'll work it out, and I'm going to go for it. And I just love that promise in Philippians 1, verse 6, where it says, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. And as I allowed him to start moving in my life and giving him the invitation and the freedom to guide me, he was doing that. Even though I was calling him by the wrong name and my heart was not in the right place, he was guiding me. So I went out to the Black Hills Health and Education Center to volunteer on the farm for 6 months. And I spent time out there putting these seeds from my hand into the soil, watching the seeds sprout and then fruit, and taking them to the farmer's market. And for me, this was a full circle experience of seeing the creative power of God. And it was speaking to me very, very loudly. And it was helping me to understand that, you know, I'm worshiping these things around me as gods, but there's got to be something more. Around that time, my brother-in-law, he came out to the field, and I was out there working, and he said, you should listen to this message on an iPod that he had, and he handed it to me, and he said, it's about music. And I said, oh, okay, I'll listen to it. And it was Ivor Meyer's presentation, talking about the spiritual roots of a lot of the music that is very popular today, the rhythmic beats that are very hypnotic, highly syncopated, and the effect that that has on the frontal lobe of the brain and how it's very hypnotic. And so we have all this information coming into our mind, but we're not passing it through our spiritual and moral filters. And so we're definitely being changed by those unhealthy thoughts that we're not processing whether they're right or wrong. So that message was a big part in shaping my surrender to the Lord, but it didn't fruit for a long time. It was just a seed that I pondered very often, but I didn't make any changes right away. And I really enjoy this photo that I have here because it reminds me that God really works with us where we're at. There was a gentleman there. He was another intern on the farm during the season that I was out there. And his name was Chris. He was Hindu. And we spent a lot of time together doing yoga and drinking tea and talking about Hinduism. And here my family is very concerned because they were hoping I would come and learn about Jesus. But I look back at those conversations and I know that God was speaking to me even through those conversations and softening my heart in ways that I needed to be softened to be prepared for what he had for me. Because you see, I was interested in a religion that was all happiness and love and joy and peace. When I thought about God, I thought that that was him and anything else was not of him. So when I read the Bible and I heard stories of wars and tribulation and the cross and the crucifixion, I wanted nothing to do with that. I could not resonate with that in any way, shape, or form. But I met this gentleman named Dan Gabbard. And this is his lovely wife, Patsy. And they've really become spiritual parents to me now in my place in my walk. But I would meet them on campus, passing by. And every time I would talk with Dan, just his manner of speech, he was very gentle and kind. And I was seeing Jesus Christ in him. And every time he would walk away, I would say, I don't know what that man has, but I really want it to. I wanted to be able to walk around in that kind of peace and love. So I decided that I was going to go to the church that weekend because I heard that he was preaching. And I walked in and I sat down in the very back, kind of slouched down, just doodling on my writing pad and kind of hoping no one noticed me there. And the first thing he said was, today we're going to talk about the crucifixion. And I thought, oh, the crucifixion, why that? Anything but that. And the next thing he said was, and you're probably thinking, oh, the crucifixion, why that? Anything but that. So I sat up in my chair a little bit straighter. I said, okay, God, you've got something for me here today, and I'm going to listen. And he began to describe the cross in a way that I'd never heard it before. He opened up to me the truth about sin and how sin are those things that separate us from God. And God being the source of all life, when we're separated from the source of life, of course, the natural occurrence is death. Just like gravity causes things to fall, it's a law of nature. Then when you're separated from the source of life, you die. And I could understand that. I knew that there were things in my life that definitely separated me from God. And then he started to describe the cross as that thing that bridges the gap. Christ being that substitute for that death that we deserve. And bridging that gap back to eternal life through Christ. And I started to see the message of the crucifixion as not a message of death, but a message of life. I started to see the cross of Calvary as that thing that I was craving for so long, but how could I let go of everything that I was holding on to? Christ's Object Lesson says, the merchant man in the parable, this is talking about the parable of the pearl of great price. The merchant man in the parable represents a class who are sincerely desiring truth. In different nations, there were earnest and thoughtful men who had sought in literature and in science and the religions of the heathen world for that which they could receive as the soul's treasure. They had been longing and praying for light from heaven, and when Christ was revealed to them, they received him with gladness. This was the beginning of that journey for me. I was finally seeing Christ and understanding his sacrifice. And the wall started to crumble down. And the Lord could see that. And he knew I wasn't going to be ready to go home at the end of those 6 months. So he opened up doors for me to stay there on the campus and go through the School of Massage Therapy. So after 4 months of being out on the farm, I started classes. And through those classes, I was given the book, The Ministry of Healing, which we were reading for our oral communications class. And our teacher would read to us from the book Reflecting Christ every morning. And here I was seeing where the rubber meets the road as far as following Jesus, being his hands and feet on this world, and the true healing ways of God, and not the false healing ways of the world. So about halfway through school, there was a gentleman named Tom Meyer, who came out to be out there on the campus to film some footage for a documentary that one of our friends was creating. And Tom was out there for 2 months with his wife and their daughters, and we really became friends. And eventually, when he was leaving, he gifted me his Battlefield Hollywood series. And it took me a while before I decided to watch one of them, but the first one that I watched was called Magic Kingdom. It's about Disney. And like I said, I grew up on Disney, you know? So I'm going to share with you a couple song lyrics from Disney, right? So in Pocahontas, Grandmother Willow says, "All around you are spirits, child. Listen with your heart, you will understand." The Little Mermaid says, "Wouldn't you think I'm a girl who has everything? But who cares? No big deal. I want more." And Aladdin tells the princess, "Tell me, princess, when did you last let your heart decide? I can open your eyes." And if you look at these song lyrics with a little bit of knowledge from the Bible, you can see lies of the enemy woven into these songs that our little children are listening to. Jeremiah tells us, "The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it?" And that was one of the things that really hit me from that documentary. I'm trusting in my own heart and mind to understand who God is and find out all the mysteries of the world, but I can't even trust my heart. I don't even know it. And it brings out that there are spiritual misconceptions woven into these movies. Biblical concepts and terminology are conveyed incorrectly. These movies are steeped with witchcraft and spiritualism and occult symbology. And do you think that it's coincidence that the two religions that I was most interested in when I became older, witchcraft and Native American spirituality, were woven deeply into both of my favorite Disney movies growing up? Might be, but I highly doubt it. And one of the things that hit me the hardest was when they talked about the female figure and how it's portrayed in the Disney movies. They talk about how there's that highly sensual hourglass female figure, overly sensual body language, that coy and seductive facial expression. These things create a notion of what femininity is all about, and it's wrapped in magic. So the children love it. It teaches young girls that it's okay to behave inappropriately, and it cultivates the idea that love is based on external beauty. And this is what causes a lot of us to become impulsive, this thought that love is based on external things. And all of these teachings are laced in undertones of sexual innuendos and adult humor. So my mindset towards relationships at this point, I was not interested or willing to give up my same-sex attraction, but instead, I had promised myself that I wasn't going to take the less complicated route anymore. I wasn't going to fall into another relationship with a man. I was going to, you know, pursue a woman and give myself that, you know, strong, committed relationship that I deserved, and maybe that would work out because the other ones didn't. I was eager to fully embrace the homosexual lifestyle, and this drove me further away from Christianity because I knew what God's word said about homosexuality. But at the same time, I was wrestling with this conviction in the back of my mind that I should remain abstinent or celibate because I knew that my sexual relationships were standing in the way of me growing closer to God. And when I talk about this documentary, I tell people that it was earth-shattering for me. It took everything that I understood and it flipped it upside down, and I was just left sobbing. And I was thinking, "Lord, what am I going to do? Who am I? What does this mean?" Because I had believed in God for a long time. I had believed in the battle between self and righteousness. I knew that who I wanted to be was often not who I was. But I didn't believe in Satan. But when I saw this documentary, I realized that Satan is real, that the great controversy is real. And I was on the losing side. Christ's Object Lesson, page 118, says, "The light of heaven penetrated the darkened minds of those who had been deceived by the enemies of Christ. They now saw him to be exalted. They now saw him exalted to be a prince and a savior, for to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins." So here came down more of the wall, the lot of the wall. I was realizing that my own efforts are insufficient and that I need to let go of my own selfish desires. Not long after that, I went to church, and I had been singing special music at church for quite a while. I loved music, and I wanted to become comfortable with being up on stage, but it wasn't from my heart. But I went that week, and I sang I Surrender All. And there was obviously something very different because I was singing it from my heart this time. And one of my friends came up to me and she says, are you spending time with Jesus? And I said, I think I'm falling in love. And she said, do you want to have Bible studies? And I said, yes, please. So we started studying the Word of God together. But unfortunately, you know, it was also time to study all those muscles and bones and get ready for my final exam for massage therapy. So my studies were very scattered. My focus was very scattered until I came to an Army Bible camp. And this was out in Spangle, Washington. And there was a gentleman there. His name is Tim Riesenberger. And he has a very unique testimony because he's an emergency room physician. And so he sees parents come in with their children in critical condition, and he very often sees the same thing over and over. The parents, they come in and they stay right by that child's side until they know one of two things. They know either that that child is going to be okay, or that they know that there's no more hope and they have to say goodbye. And he explained that that's how Christ loves us. He stays right by our side until we're safe with him in heaven and he can be with us always. Or he looks into the depths of our soul and he knows that there's nothing else that he can say or do that will change our mind towards him and cause us to accept his sacrifice for us. And at that point, it would be more merciful for him to let us go than to try and take him home with us. And he also talks about how when parents bring their children into the emergency room, they always say, why? Why wasn't it me? Why wasn't I the one who was driving? Why wasn't I the one that got cancer? They always wish they could take the place of that child, and that's what Christ did for us. And when I saw that this is how Christ loves me, I said, you know what? I've made a decision that I want to be baptized, but I haven't told anyone other than my mother and my sister about it and the pastor. And I said, you know what? I'm not holding back anymore. There's no more questions in my mind. I want everyone here to know that I choose Jesus. And I responded to his altar call for baptism. And that was when I really became serious about studying out the fundamental beliefs and preparing my heart and mind for baptism, because the wall was broken down. And now, knowing the true love of God for me, I could move into a relationship and surrender my whole life to him. So on September 1st, 2012, I died. Nevertheless, I live. And the Lord has been miraculously moving in my life, opening up doors for me to share my testimony in different places. And, you know, it's just beautiful to watch God move in your life. And when you come to a place where you have that abiding relationship in Christ, there's nothing that can convince you otherwise. So my journey towards God was this surrender of my addictions, coming to open up my heart to God, to listen to his voice, spending time out in nature, learning from his object lessons, gaining knowledge, which was shedding light upon the deceptions that were in my heart and in my mind. And then as all of these things were happening and my thoughts were changing, that caused my actions to change. And as my actions were changing, so were my habits. And as I started to have different habits in life, that meant that I had a different character. And this was my walk towards Jesus Christ and with him now in my life. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And the day that I was baptized, all morning, I walked around in a crimson red dress. And after my baptism, I put on a white dress. And I wanted that to be an object lesson for everyone to see that God had changed me. Not just on the outside, but on the inside too. Because when I went into that water, I was surrendering my life to him, but I was asking him to cleanse me. And I said, God, I broke all these promises because I only made them to myself, but now I want to make them to you. And I know that making you the promise isn't enough, and I need you to change my heart. And so I asked him to wash me clean, and I said, God, I want you to protect me and keep me pure. I don't even want to kiss someone until my wedding day. And I think that he honored that, and he has made me a new creature. And so now he's asked me to dedicate my life to reaching out to others. I want to tell you a little story about my friend. Her name is Linda. And when I was out in the world, I met Linda. She was with a woman named Jan. They had been together for 10 years. And Linda and I, we really connected right away. She's one of those persons that just looked at me and she could tell me things about myself that I didn't even realize about myself. And she was much older. Her and her partner came to refer to my boyfriend and I as the kids. We would come over and just have dinner together and hang out, and we became very close. And we really resonated with each other. We were both struggling with anxiety and depression, and we were both trying to meditate and learn who God was, and we wanted to know and learn spiritually. And so when I moved to South Dakota, I kind of lost touch with her, but I found out through some friends that her and Jan had separated, and I knew that Linda would need someone, some support. The Lord impressed my heart and mind to reach out to her and call her, and I thought, well, she's going to see everything that I'm posting on Facebook. I know she's seen it, because now the only thing I share there pretty much is Christ. She's going to ask me, you know, what happened? What's going on in Munchkin's world? That was always her question. And I knew she was going to ask, and how would I answer that question? How could I reach out to her who, you know, this religion or this, you know, the teachings of the Bible condemn her lifestyle, and ask her to change and be reformed? How am I going to reach out to her and teach her anything about Christ? So every time that conviction would come into my heart, I would let this question override that conviction, and I wouldn't call her. And about 3 months later, I found out that around the same time that I was being convicted to call Miss Linda, she committed suicide. And that was something that kind of brought my whole world crashing down, because I told Jesus that I wanted to be a messenger for him, but I realized I was too afraid to do it. And so at that point, I said, Lord, I don't want my fears to hold me back. I want to be your messenger. And I never would have expected that he would have called me to talk about this subject, the subject that no one talks about. But now I know through that experience, when I promised the Lord that I wanted to reach out to those people for whom it was not too late for, when this call came for me, I couldn't let it go. And so, you know, is there anything standing between you and the Lord? That's the theme, the question that's constantly in my mind. And I want that to be the question in your mind tonight or this morning. You know, is there anything standing in between you and Christ? Because ultimately, he asks us to let him be in control of our lives. And for me, it was addictions, unholy relationships, anxiety. I had desire for worldly fulfillment, unhealthy entertainment, depression. There was a lot of things that was standing in front of me and the Lord. And I just want to ask each one of you, is there something that you know is standing in front of you? It doesn't have to be same-sex attraction or even sexual sin or anything like that. But I just want to ask you, is there something in your heart that's making you too afraid to reach out to that person who's struggling with this subject? Because God wants to use each one of us. And we can trust in him that he will give us the words, he will teach us the timing, he will help us to know what to do. But we have to be willing to reach out and do that. And so I just want to ask each one of you, if there's something that's standing in between you and the Lord, whether it's some sin or it's some fear of helping someone else out of some sin, I want to challenge you to stand up with me tonight, this morning, as I share this prayer. Amen. Dear Heavenly Father, you have called us each out of darkness into your light. And you've given each one of us a testimony and a story. You have brought us each through the experiences that we have come through for the purpose of helping us to understand who you are. You want us to know you in an intimate way. And our view of intimacy has become so skewed that we don't even understand what that means, to think about God in an intimate way, for most of us, for many of us. And Lord, We just want to surrender to you everything that's in our life that's keeping us from surrendering that sin that besets us, or from reaching out to the person whom we know is struggling. Lord God, I pray that you will use the story of Linda not only as encouragement to me, but encouragement to other people, that when God impresses us, when you impress us, there is something more to be gained by following that impression, Lord. I just want to thank you so much for bringing each one of us here. And Lord, I just pray that your Spirit has gone before me and that you have given something to each one of us that is applicable through this story of a life of shame and sin and hardness and frowardness. Give us each something that we can resonate with and ponder today and meditate upon, that we can come to give you our hearts more fully, more completely than we ever have before. Lord Jesus, I just want to thank you for your sacrifice for us, for your love for us, that you've given us more than we could ever ask or think. And I just pray that you will continue to help us to trust in you today and always, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.
You have been listening to another special American Christian Ministries presentation. International copyright, all rights reserved. To order a copy of this or other presentations, or for a free catalog, please call toll-free 800-233-4450. International calls dial 717-652-7000. You may also order from our secure website at www.AmericanChristianMinistry.org. There you will discover the largest selection of authentic Adventist preaching available. You can trust ACM. There's no compromise here. If American Christian Ministries has been a blessing to you, why not take a moment just now and send us a note or an email with your testimony? We'll share it with the speakers and volunteer workers to encourage you. Your prayers and continued financial support are very important to ensure the continuation of this ministry as we help prepare America and the world to meet Jesus Christ. He is coming soon.